Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show,
living off with people
a variety talk show
and giving all the power to the
same.
That were only gonna bring this to my knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of set the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, and thank you so much for tuning in today. I have a really, really great guest, and this interview is long overdue. My guest, Heidi J. Moore, and I hope that you all are moved and inspired as much as I am by her. But Heidi J. Moore is an amazing mother of two boys, wife, and advocate for families of special needs children. Heidi Moore walked away from a promising career to care for her son after he was diagnosed with Down syndrome and facing many health issues. Her advocacy started in 2002 when she became involved with the special needs community by taking on the role as executive board member of the Down Syndrome Association of Atlanta until 2006 when she resigned to focus her advocacy efforts in the state of Georgia. And during this year, she organized, which me and Zion and Stefan attended, the healthcare rally for kids at the Georgia State Capitol. Over the years, Heidi has headed and been a part of many advocacy accomplishments and efforts while caring for her son, Jacob, an amazing kid who is now 10. He has endured 21 surgeries and 50-plus procedures. Heidi Moore is one of Georgia's most visible advocates for children's health care and educational reform in the state of Georgia. But she placed these efforts on hold when Jacob was diagnosed with leukemia in November of 2009. But after all Jacob has endured, it hasn't stopped him from being an energetic and loving spirit, and he's an amazing kid. Heidi's hope and dream is that society will see Jacob for his abilities, not his disabilities. As he continues to amaze people that he encounter in the world. And before I bring her on, I want to play a song that was written and sung by Amy Sanchez. This song was the theme for the International Rett Syndrome Association Awareness Campaign. Here's Silent Angels by Amy Sanchez.
Coffee's turned cold in her hand as the candle burns low. She says, dream on, my sweet baby girl, the angels are here. Sitting back, she can see through the pain. A star catches her eye. One by one they light up the sky, leading the way. We can be the voice for the silent angel on this night of a thousand stars. Hold each other's hand, it's time to take a stand as we fight the fight of a lifetime. We can be the voice
Thank you, Yvonne. I'll tell you, I'm a little choked up listening to the words of that song. I really,
yeah,
really am.
Yeah,
it's, you should have warned me on that one.
I got a little chill bumps when I listened to it, too, and I thought that today, I played it on another show, too, for when we did a panel for special education, but I just think it's very relevant when it comes to advocating for our children. That song really speaks volumes.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I say to people all the time, they ask me, what do I do? And I say, you know what? I give a voice to the children that don't have one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And that's exactly what the song said. And,
yeah.
Wow, I got to kind of overcome my little bit of being choked up as a mama right now. So please forgive me.
Oh, no problem. I want to go back for a moment before we talk about the many accomplishments that you've had and the many things that you endured with your son, Jacob. I want to go back for a minute to where it all started. When Jacob was diagnosed, when was he diagnosed with Down syndrome, and what was your immediate reaction?
Well, you know, we have a little bit more of a unique story, which you'll see as we unfold a lot of the things going on in Jacob's life. Everything about him's unique. I truly believe that. But anyway, I found out at 20 weeks of pregnancy that Jacob not only had Down syndrome, he had excess water in the brain, and he also had a severe heart defect. And they didn't even know if he was going to survive pregnancy. So I carried him for another 20 weeks not even knowing if he was going to live. And I have to admit, he was one of the most prayed for little babies before he came out than anybody in this world. And obviously,
yeah.
you know, he's still here to show it. So anyway, so, you know, we chose, actually it wasn't a choice for us, my husband and I, when we were told all of Jacob's medical things, you know, the first thought we had was shock, of course.
Yeah.
And for the first 24 hours, I have to admit, I mourned the loss of the child I thought I was going to have.
Yeah.
And then after that, I have to admit, it was almost like God had spoken to me and said, you know what, this is the card you've been dealt. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
And I surrounded myself with a lot of wonderful people. I researched a lot, and I prayed a lot, and, you know, not to say it hasn't been an easy ride, but boy, has it been a wonderful ride, too. So that's how we found out. But unfortunately, studies have shown that families that find out that they're carrying a child with Down syndrome, the abortion rate is over 90%.
Yeah.
So there's, unfortunately, there's not a lot of parents out there like my husband and I that believe that, you know, every child is a gift. And Jacob truly is. So
yeah,
that's kind of the beginning of our story.
I'm sorry, I had to pause for a minute. When you decided to walk away from your career, when was that? Was it once you found out, or was it years after he was born?
No, I'll tell you what. The company I was working for, I'd been working in the oil industry for over 10 years, and I was on my 11th year when I found out. They were extremely supportive through the whole pregnancy, because I couldn't travel as much because I was traveling all over the country, even, you know, up until the point I found out about Jacob. And they were extremely supportive. So I have to admit, I'm kind of an oddity with that, too. They actually kept me on the payroll for over a year after Jacob was born because they wanted me to come back. And after the first year and realizing that, you know, my baby needed me more than the oil industry needed me, you know, I finally pulled the plug and told them, you know, as much as I enjoyed working, I had a new job to do, and that was to keep my son alive and to take care of his needs. And so that's where it kind of began, my old career, and then my new career started. Which my new career is a lot more, let's see, what's the word I want to use? It's a lot more fulfilling, but it sure isn't as financially viable.
Right,
right. So that's kind of how it all kind of started. And, you know, it took me a little bit longer to make that break, but I wasn't working. They were just keeping me on the payroll, wanting me to come back.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I was very blessed in that regard. And they were still supportive years later, asking me to come back to work. And I told them no, I couldn't do it. So.
Because the special needs community needed you. What motivated you to not only advocate for Jacob, but you also started advocating for other families? What motivated you to say, you know, instead of me just keeping this to myself, instead of me just keeping this research and all this information that I'm finding and my skills, of advocating to myself, what motivated you to reach out to other families?
Well, there were two key events that happened in the same year that kind of pushed me in that direction. The first one was my son was having a hard time with communication, and he was doing sign language, but he wasn't vocalizing his words, and he was plateauing out with the sign language. And I found out about this wonderful tool, which, Yvonne, I'm sure you're aware of. It's called Augmentative Communication, which it is. It's a touchscreen computer. What it does is it gives a child a voice box when they can't speak, and they're able to communicate with society. And so what happened was is we had put in for insurance to pay for this communication device. Now, this device cost over $6,000, which is very expensive. But how do you put a value on a child's ability to communicate with the world?
Yeah.
So what happened was is Jacob has primary health care insurance through my husband and I, but he also has secondary insurance through the Medicaid program because of his disability. And our primary had told us that they would not pay for it, and so I was actively pursuing Medicaid to pay for it, and Medicaid said no. So I did not take no for an answer. And I found out through the grapevine, and this is the first time I had ever contacted anybody in political office ever in my life. And at the time, it was my state senator. His name was Tom Price, who is now U.S. Representative Tom Price. But he was my state senator. I heard that he was a doctor. And I thought, okay, I could talk to somebody like that. They could understand the health complexities of my son and the need for such a device. So I called him, and I told him, and I talked to him on the phone. I got a hold of him, and I told him why we needed what we needed. Within 2 hours, I had a phone call from Medicaid saying, "Ms. Moore, how can I help you?" And I said, "Here's the situation. I need to get this device for my son in order for him to be able to speak to the world."
Yeah.
Within the next day, I had a phone call from the manufacturer of the device, Dynavox Technologies, which is one of the largest augmentative communication devices in the world. And they contacted me and said, "Heidi, I just want you to know that not only have you been approved for the device for your son, but over 50 families that have been waiting for over between a year and a half to hear back from Medicaid have also been approved for that device."
Wow.
That was my first line of seeing the power of speaking up for others that can't speak up for themselves, kind of like what the song says.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing that happened at the beginning of the year. Then the second thing was is I found out that the state of Georgia was looking to put a healthcare premium on those families that had this disability waiver for Medicaid. And I just was very upset about that, along with another parent. We said, "This just isn't right. Why would the families, and we're not asking for handouts. We didn't do anything wrong. Our children didn't do anything wrong. We're just asking for a little extra help for our children with a disability, and they're wanting to put a premium on it."
Yeah.
And so within 2.5 weeks, another parent and I, it was in November 2003, we put together a rally at the Capitol. We called it SOS Kids, Save Our Special Kids, kind of cute. And we were able to get over 250 participants to come to the Capitol within 2.5 weeks. And at that rally, we asked for people to give them, if they would be interested in further updates on how to get involved with children with disabilities and healthcare, to sign up and give us their email addresses. Well, we got about 150 emails, and from that, I started sending out just simple things, like things that I would learn about, things I learned about how to navigate the system or any kind of educational thing that families I found out about, whatever the issue was in the disability world. From the 150 emails I had in 2003, it grew. And it grew and grew and grew. And as of today, and I haven't even checked the numbers, you know, I have over 2,500 organizations and emails across the United States wanting to get updates on disability issues, how to get involved to impact change.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little bit of a long story, but I think it's important for people to see that it's amazing how you don't realize the power of a phone call.
Yeah.
The power
yeah.
of speaking up, the power of networking, you know, those kind of things. And I've lived it firsthand for 7 years in seeing that and with the things I've got involved with. And, you know, but that's how it kind of all started.
Wow.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. Sometimes it takes for you to be, I guess, fed up or to see that, wait a minute, this is not fair. and to push the envelope and see that, wow, you know, just like you just said, wow, what a difference that made. And
right.
not just your life, but in other people's lives who needed that, who
right.
needed the device. And it's so much bigger than just the device. It's, you know, being able to band these families together and to reach out and to provide them with the information and to push the envelope to open doors for our children that they can't open for themselves.
Exactly. And, you know, one time we had a call-in day. I came up with an idea. We had an issue with the governor's office wanting to impose another premium on the families. And so we had a call-in day, just one day, at the governor's
mm-hmm.
office. You don't think we had an impact on that? I got a phone call from the governor's staff wanting to have
yeah.
a meeting.
Yeah.
Because they were like, Heidi, what are you doing? And by this point, obviously, they knew who I was. But, you know, and I said, you know what? I wasn't able to get your attention. So
yeah.
I had to do a different route. And, you know, you got to kind of adjust and change. And, you know, sometimes you have to reach out to legislators. Sometimes you have to reach out to the media. Just this morning before, you know, I called into your radio show, you know, I was listening to WSB talk radio here in Georgia. And, you know, it was really interesting because it had to do with the Aflac Cancer Center. And I was listening to that, and at the same time, I opened up the AJC, the Atlanta Journal-Constitutional Paper here in Atlanta, and I saw that they had done a beautiful article on Camp Sunshine, which is a nonprofit organization for families going through children going through cancer treatment, and if they have different camps for different, you know, groups. And they had a story in the AJC today about a couple that met when they were younger at this Camp Sunshine that had cancer. Both of them had different kinds of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
They were treated. They beat it. Not only that, they got married. And just this month, they had a child.
Wow.
Very impacting. So you know what I did before I called into your radio show? I sent an email to the Atlanta Journal and Constitution. I sent a letter to the editor and to the letters people saying, and to the reporter saying, thank you for that article. Thank you for, you know, bringing awareness to different organizations, to giving people hope.
Yeah.
And building that awareness to people that aren't in that world. So hopefully someday we can find a cure for cancer, which
yeah,
obviously we'll get into that in a little bit. But, you know, it's a mindset of seeing opportunities and taking
yeah,
advantage
and I
of
think,
them.
And I like to, and I think to, you know, reaching out to the journalists and it's, you know, if multiple families would do that, I think that the more stories they'll write on it.
Exactly.
So I like, I commend you for doing that.
One thing my mama gave me was the gift of gab. I could talk to anybody about anything. Ask my husband. And my other son Jared's the same way. But, you know, I truly believe the lessons that I was taught and the things that I learned when I worked in my other career in the oil industry was preparing me for the work that I would do for children with disabilities and cancer now in the future.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I thank my mama for that one. And she's probably listening right now, mama, so I love you.
As you started, as I stated in the introduction, Jacob endured multiple surgeries and procedures. And I think you kind of touched on it already. But what was these procedures and the surgeries for?
Well, Jacob is a very complex child. You ask any of his 14 doctors he sees. And when I say 14, he does. He has 14 doctors, specialty doctors. He's just had some interesting things he's had to overcome. The biggest one, obviously, when he was born was the heart condition.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to have open heart surgery when he was 7 weeks old
mm-hmm.
because he had a failure to thrive situation. His body was just so exhausted he couldn't even eat. And
mm-hmm.
so he had to have a feeding tube. temporarily for the first 6 months of his life. But he had open heart surgery when he was 7 weeks old. He's had some gastrointestinal issues, reflux, which a lot of us have, but his wasn't able to be contained with just medication. He had to have a fundoplication, which is a putting a one-way valve between the stomach and the esophagus. He's had numerous ear tubes, which a lot of children, you know, with and without disabilities have that.
Yeah.
He's had just a lot of different kinds of things going on over the years. And to be honest, and I don't want to preempt any questions that you have, in the last few years, we actually joked, boy, this is getting to be easy street here with Jacob. I mean, the Down syndrome has never been an issue. It really hasn't. I mean, and I'm sure you feel this way too. The
yeah.
Down syndrome's just an extra chromosome. Jacob, you know, he loves the same things that his brother loves. He
yeah.
likes to do the same things that any
yeah.
other child does. The only difference is lots of times it takes him a little bit longer to do it
right.
with the right supports. That's the
right.
only difference. And, you know, people are like, oh, the Down syndrome. I'm like, oh, the Down syndrome's nothing. It's some
yeah.
of these other things that we've had to contend with that's been the issues. But,
the
you know, overall, his
yeah.
health was really good. And, you know, in the last few years, up until last year, you know, my husband and I joked that, you know, hey, this is getting a little easier now. You know, dealing more now with the educational side of how do you educate him in the way that he learns was more
right.
the focus than the healthcare side. It was just
right.
more of a maintenance mode. Up until November 13th of last year, and then everything changed again. So I don't know when you want me to talk about that.
Okay. how were you, you know, going through that? A lot of people that may just have their child may be healthy or, you know, they just the diagnosis alone, there are a lot of parents that struggle with coping with it. But after you've endured the multiple surgeries and procedures, as we were just talking about, how have you managed to cope with all the things that Jacob has had to endure?
Well, one of the first things is I'm truly blessed that I have a supportive family.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, over the years, I've developed a lot of relationships with a lot of wonderful people that you don't realize how important friendships are until
yeah.
times are tough.
Right.
And you need to develop them when times are good. So
mm-hmm.
when the bad times come, which everybody goes through bad times, everybody
right.
does.
Right.
It's just, and if you haven't had a bad time, it may be around the corner, so you better get prepared. So, you know, what I learned in the oil industry was the power of networking
mm-hmm.
and building alliances with people,
yeah.
with people,
yeah.
with organizations, with whoever it is. And it's easier to do it during good times. So what I did was, you know, I developed those relationships. I got involved in various organizations that I felt were supportive to the disability population,
mm-hmm.
like Families of Children Under Stress, FOCUS. I mean, wonderful organization here in Atlanta, Georgia, that helps families. And there's a lot of them like that. And, you know, I could go on and on and on about those. And I'm involved with a lot of them. But,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of organizations out there that you may not know about them because you're not part of that club, but when you become part of that club, you're very happy you're part of it because
yeah.
you're around people that understand what you're going through. They can support you when you're going through it. And then the other thing that helped me cope through everything, of course, is my relationship with God.
Yeah.
And always understanding that God has a plan for not only Jacob, but for our entire family.
Yeah.
And I hold on to that even through the most difficult times of knowing that, you know, there is a master of ceremonies here. God is watching out over us. And, you know, I have to hold on to that.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think it's helped me be able to prepare and be able to cope with things. You know, and I've had my moments. I'm not, everybody thinks I'm this Wonder Woman. No, I'm like everybody else. I have my moments. Ask my husband. And I have my breakdowns, and I have my, you know, because I tend to have a crash and burn kind of personality. I'm very type A, and I go, 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 go. I'm like a roller coaster. I go, 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 and then I crash. Then I go, 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 and then I crash. And, you know, fortunately, you know, my husband has been very supportive through my advocacy efforts and has, you know, he's just been my rock.
Yeah.
And a lot of people give me credit for what I've done in the advocacy world. But I'll be honest, if I didn't have my husband behind me supporting me and kind of pushing me up and taking care of the kids when I was doing other things, it wouldn't have ever happened. And I know that. So.
Yeah, yeah. And after after Jacob, you became pregnant with your second son. Did you have concerns during that pregnancy?
Oh, that's an understatement. no, Jared was born 20 months later.
Mm-hmm.
I was concerned because there is a slight risk, higher risk of having another child with Down syndrome. It's only like 1% or 2%. But I'm the kind of person where I do better with understanding facts.
Right.
And I just have to know. So during my pregnancy, my same doctor who went through everything with me with Jacob, she says, you know, what do you want to do, Heidi? And I said, well, I want an alpha fetoprotein test just to know what's going on. Just to know. Not that I do anything about it, obviously, but I need to know. So I did the alpha fetoprotein test, and unfortunately, the numbers were not good. So then, of course, I kind of went into panic mode thinking, oh, my gosh. Does God really think I can handle another child with Down syndrome? You know, come on. So I ended up having an amniocentesis done again. I had one with Jacob, and I think the best doctor in Atlanta. I did my research. Once again, it's research driven. I did my research to know who we needed to go. So it was the safest doctor that, you know, that could perform it. And he did our second amnio. With Jared, which obviously revealed that there was no issue. But it helped me to appreciate and to enjoy my second pregnancy more, knowing that that was out of the equation.
Yeah.
So Jared was born 20 months after Jacob. And what made it a little bit more complex is Jacob was not walking yet.
Mm-hmm.
He was in therapy, of course. He's been in therapy since he was 3 months old when the doctors gave the approval that he could. And, you know, he was in intense physical, occupational, speech therapy and music therapy. And, you know, it was almost like I joked with people, I had an older twin and a younger twin. Because as people see the kids and as Jared was growing up, and now Jared's a little bit taller than Jacob, which confuses people even more. But, you know, a lot of people thought they were twins for a very long time. And it was kind of fun. Jared gets a kick out of it. You know, he says, I'm the younger brother, but really I'm the older brother. I tell Jacob what to do. And he's his number one advocate, too. I'll tell you what, don't mess with Jacob when Jared's around because he'll take care of you. So, you know, but it wasn't easy. I have to admit, the first couple years with having both children was difficult. It was, but it was the best decision we ever made. Because I think it was important for Jacob to grow up with a sibling. And, you know, I just, I'm very grateful we did it, but I'm not saying it was easy.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier now, a lot easier now. But those early years, but, you know, any parent of a child with multiple children close in age can understand that.
Yeah.
It was just hard. The only difference was Jacob wasn't making his milestones as quickly. So at sometimes I was working with both the children on the same milestones. So.
Yeah. So you went through the therapies and had potty trained Jacob and had all it went through all these milestones, and then in 2009, last year in November, he was diagnosed with leukemia. What were the signs that led you order doctors and order doctors that said, okay, he needs to be tested?
Well, that's an interesting story too, Yvonne. and it once again shows the power of advocating for your child. What happened was, is like I said, Jacob was doing very well health-wise and having his best school year ever. He was being included with his peers. He had a wonderful assistant helping him at school. And all the stars were aligned. We were a happy family, very, very happy family. Things were going great with everybody in our family. And then on November 6th, the school called me. And they said, Heidi, they said, we think Jacob sprained his ankle. And I said, okay, I said, I'm on my way. So I got to the school and went to the nurse's station. And when I walked in, I couldn't believe it. One of the paraprofessionals, assistants in the special education class, had to carry him to the nurse's station. And I'm like, what? He can't walk? They're like, no, he cannot walk. He can't walk now. And I said, oh, my gosh. So they carried him to the car for me, and I took him directly to Children's Health Care of Atlanta, and they did an X-ray on his foot, and they said, you know what, it's a sprained ankle. And they gave me one of those little casts, those air casts, and they said, you know what, he'll be getting better. Keep him off his leg for a couple days. Give him a little Tylenol. He'll be fine. Well, it was pretty obvious. That was on a Thursday. Over the weekend, it got worse. Jacob couldn't bear any weight on his legs. He was in pain. I was having to give him Tylenol and alternate between Tylenol and Motrin. And my gut instinct as a mama said, there's something else going on here.
Yeah.
This isn't just a sprained ankle. He's a little swollen on that foot, but he's in intense pain, and he isn't even putting any pressure on it.
Yeah.
So I called his pediatrician, and I told him, I said, I think he needs to go see an orthopedist. And he says, I agree, Heidi. He said, if you have any problems getting in, let me know. So, and once again, developing those relationships with the doctors before you need it. So that's important because they'll support you when you have situations like this. So I called the orthopedic surgeon. They got us in that afternoon on that Monday, and they did some blood tests, some simple CBC testing, and they x-rayed him again, and they said, you know what, we think it's just a sprained ankle. We'll wait for the results to come back. They called me on Tuesday afternoon, and by this point, Jacob had lost his function. He could not go to the bathroom because he was in so much pain with his legs. He couldn't bear any weight. He was having a hard time. We were having to prop pillows around him. The orthopedic doctor calls and says, you know what, he had a little bit of irregular things come up in his CBC, but you know what, it could have been just cross-contamination, blah, blah, blah. And they weren't worried about it. And they said, now, if he spikes a fever, call us.
Uh-huh.
And this was at 5 o'clock on a Tuesday. Of course, at 6 o'clock on Tuesday, after the office closed, he spiked a fever. So we monitored him all night, that Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, I called the orthopedic doctor, and they said, you know what, just take him into Children's Health Care of Atlanta. Take him to the emergency room, because if we write work orders to do an MRI or a CAT scan, it could take a couple days. If you go to the emergency room, you know what, they'll get
it'll
you in.
Be quicker, yeah.
So we went to the emergency room on Wednesday. They did some more blood work. The blood work still came back a little different, but not to the levels that you would think of that would be an issue. Uh-huh. And they wanted to send us home. And at the time, my husband was with Jacob in the emergency room. And I told my husband, I will kill you if you come home with our son. I said, you get him admitted and you get him to get an MRI. And I said,
yeah.
And if they won't do it, I'm on my way, because I had Jared with me at home.
Yeah.
So Stephen convinced him to do an MRI the next morning. I got Jared on the bus, and then I came on down to the hospital. And what happened was, is it was the longest 3.5 hours of our lives. What happened was is he went in for a simple MRI of his ankle, and we came out 3.5 hours later with a maze of the orthopedic surgeon on call, the oncologist that was there at the hospital, who also just happened, and this was a God thing. He heads up the Aflac Cancer Center there at Scottish Rite. He was on call that day, which I was very appreciative. And they said, we don't know for sure but until we get some additional testing done. And they started talking, and as soon as they did, I knew. And I said, he has cancer. And they said, we think he does, but until we get the test back from Emory University, we won't know for sure. So, then, of course, they admitted him immediately. He was on IV, and they drew a bunch of blood. We got the test results on Friday, the November 13th, and it confirmed that he had leukemia. And there started our next journey in our lives.
How receiving that kind of news, I think, is devastating for any parent.
just say it. My life's an open book.
What was your immediate reaction?
Okay. This was the first time I got mad at God.
Mm-hmm.
I got mad.
Yeah.
I was mad because I felt that Jacob had endured so much as a child,
yeah,
his first 9 years of his life, because he wasn't 10 yet. And I just felt like we got gypped, that this wasn't fair, the fair card, you know, which you hate to throw that out. And I hate,
yeah,
to always ask why. I don't like to use the word why. It's usually not in my vocabulary. But at that point, it was why.
Yeah.
And, you know, my husband and I suit each other very well. I'm more the outspoken one. I'm the one that, you know, has a big mouth. He's more of the quiet one that thinks before he talks, that kind of calms me down. And he's kind of the even keel kind of guy. And he was the one that took the bull by the horns at that point, because I had to have a moment just to kind of pull it together for myself. And what really made it real was is the day we had the MRI on that Wednesday, you know, I started calling. My family was texting me and emailing me left and right and calling, and they hadn't heard from me. And all my family's from out of state. Most of them are up in Indiana. And they were panicking. They hadn't heard from me, which they know that's odd. And happened to tell my family, who had been supportive through the last 9 years, that, okay, now we have the biggest obstacle we've ever had in our lives with our son.
Yeah, yeah.
It just made it real, and then I had to live it over and over and over and over again as I started telling people. The fortunate thing about this, which I'm always trying to look at the positive here, you got to focus on the positive, because if you don't, it will drive you crazy.
Oh, yeah.
The social worker for the Aflac Cancer Center, where my son was at the hospital, came in immediately when we got the confirmation diagnosis. And she goes, Heidi, you don't know me, but I've been following you for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Pat, what are you talking about? And she says, well, Heidi, she says, I'm a social worker here at the cancer center. And she says, I've been on your email distribution list for years now, following you, helping, and your advice helps me with the families going through cancer. And she says, when I saw the roster of those children that had been diagnosed that day, as soon as I saw Jacob Moore, she goes, I thought, oh, no, this isn't Heidi Moore. And then when she saw the name, she said, you were the first person I had to come see. And she gave me some wonderful advice. She said, the first thing you need to do is you need to calm down, take a breath. The second thing you need to do is you need to put together a communication plan. And what I recommend you do is do a Caring Bridge site. And it's kind of, it's a website to keep people abreast of what's going on during your journey. And she says, that will cut down on texts, emails, phone calls, and it'll allow you to focus in on your son.
Yeah.
and not be taking all your energy in 10,000 different directions.
Yeah.
And so, and it was a it was something I never think I would have done. But fortunately, I listened to her that day. And when we got the confirmation on Friday, Saturday morning, Stephen was still at the hospital. Jared was at a friend's house. I got on the computer and I put together a web page. And it was the best thing I could have done. Because what I did was that became my conduit of information to families and to everybody that wanted to know what was going on with Jacob. And we also put together another website, teamjacob.org. A dear friend of mine here that also has a son with Down syndrome, she didn't know what to do. And that's what happened with a lot of people that I had helped for years and years and years. At this point, it was my time to get help.
Yeah.
And I was overwhelmed. I mean, when I sent out that original email on that Friday night confirming Jacob had leukemia, within minutes I had over 200 emails.
Yeah.
People, you know, saying, Heidi, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? So I appointed one of my real good friends here, Stephanie, to be my right-hand woman. And she kind of funneled the help aspect of it. She put together a website, kind of like just a one-page website of, okay, if you want to donate money, here. If you want to donate food, go here. If you want to keep up on what Jacob's doing, go here. And kind of like one-page communication style. And she kind of filtered the people so I didn't have to deal with all the people because I wanted to be there for Jacob first.
Yeah.
But I needed the help, but I didn't have the energy to deal with that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot
so,
of sense.
And all those years, you know, the 7 years prior that I had helped all those families, all of a sudden, and even new people came to the forefront wanting to help our family. Strangers heard about Jacob. People from the school because he had been included with his peers in third grade. His classmates, parents, wanting to make meals and help us. It was overwhelming. For the first 6 months of Jacob's treatment, we had meals about every 2 to 3 days for 6 months.
Wow.
And it was because people recognized that, you know, this was our time to kind of take when usually we're the one giving. And that's a hard concept for me because I like to be the giver. I like to be the nurturer. I don't like to be the recipient.
Right.
And I think God was refining me on that, that I needed to do that. And, you know, once again, I had developed a network that I never dreamed I would have to use in that capacity. But they came together for us and with our family. And my mom and dad were just phenomenal. I mean, they came down, you know, they're up in Terre Haute, Indiana, and they were making that trip every 2 to 3 weeks for the first couple months. To help us out. And then, you know, and everybody else chimed in too. My sister came down with her husband. My brother, he couldn't come down because he's got young children himself, but they helped us out in other ways. They were, you know, they organized having Santa come to our house during Christmas because Jacob couldn't go out to see Santa because of his immune system.
Yeah.
I mean, people were, like, opening their hearts in ways that, I mean, I could give you example after example of how people just
reached out.
Reached out. And and what made me realize through that how is just how important it is to have a supportive environment, and you just never know when you may need it. You just never know.
Now, you said that, you know, when you receive the diagnosis, you are angry at God. I've been through moments like that, too. I'm like, oh, my God, why now? Why is this happening? Or why is that happening? And then God answers you. And I want to ask, what restored your faith? What restored, what brought you back to say, okay, God, I get it?
I have to admit, I said I did a lot of praying, and I think, and I asked God to show me why this was and to help me cope with this whole situation. He did, I think, through the love of the people that came to the forefront to help us.
Yeah.
I saw the love of God directly through the people that came to help us, the strangers that came to help us. Through a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend kind of thing, the Georgia 400 Movies Theater up in Cumming, Georgia, found out about Jacob and found out that his brother's wish, Jared's wish, was is for us to go to a movie. Because Jacob couldn't go to the movies because of his low immune system. He couldn't be in any kind of public setting at all. He was pretty much quarantined the first 6 months of his since it happened. And so this theater found out about Jacob and our family, doesn't know us from Adam, and they called me up, and they said, we want to do a private showing. You tell us which movie you want to see and invite as many people as you feel comfortable with. So we invited 25 of our closest friends that live in the area. Our family, of course, wasn't here, unfortunately. And Jared got to invite a few of his friends. Jacob got to invite a few of his friends. We had a lot of antibacterial gel given out. And we got to watch Old Dogs. And, you know, it was a moment where Jared will never forget it, because that was his Christmas wish, is our family could go to the movies.
Yeah.
And we got to do it with some really close friends here in Atlanta. And, you know, those are the kind of things, would you have ever thought about that?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But people would come to the table and say, we want to do this. Or, you know, let's see, four churches made quilts and blankets for Jacob. And, you know, things like that, just beautiful things, people reaching out to us. It's just the cards. Oh, my gosh. Jacob got so many cards in that first 2 months, I decided, because we were putting them on the walls at the hospital, because he would be there weeks on end. And we would put them on the walls. So when we came home, I was like, you know what, we're going to continue this. So I started putting them up on the walls in his room. I'm proud to say that three quarters of his walls in his room are filled with cards and get well wishes. His third grade class made a 15-foot banner for him saying, get well soon, Jacob. And we put that up. I had to cut it up a little bit to get it into his room. You know, just beautiful. The Wiggles sent a care package to us because Jacob loves the Wiggles still. You know, just things. And so when you go in Jacob's room, you see God's love through all the cards that the adults send, but the children make. Those are the ones I love the most. It's the children that make these handmade cards telling Jacob how much they love him.
Yeah.
And I could just tell you a story. I mean, there's I've got a cousin in Kentucky that she's a teacher of a private school up there, and she's a first grade teacher. She decided that Jacob loves books. Jacob is an avid reader. That's one thing. He's on grade level for reading. He loves to read, and he reads dictionaries for pleasure, if you can believe that. Well, she got a bunch of books donated from this school in Bardstown, Kentucky. And she had each of her first graders read the book to Jacob on cassette, and she sent the book with the cassette, with the recorder, so Jacob could hear the children reading to him when he wasn't feeling well.
Oh, wow.
I mean, powerful stuff that, you know, you just don't think about. I'm trying to journal all these things because there's a lot of things here, lessons learned, I'll call them, at this point, on how the community could get involved in helping support children going through difficult moments, if it's cancer, if it's trying to walk for the first time, whatever it is, you know. Jacob had endured a lot just having a disability, and then having the cancer component on top of it just added a whole nother complexity that I never thought in a million years we would have to deal with. I'll be honest with you, Yvonne. Not in a million years. I literally, with our team of, I call it the Jacob team. That's why we have the Team Jacob website. Literally, we had to reteach him how to eat again, how to walk again, how to be potty trained again. I had to do everything again with our team of people that love him. it was hard. And there were times where even a few weeks ago I was trying to get Jacob completely potty trained before he went back to school because, you know, we did hold him back because he missed the whole school year. He didn't go to school from November on. And so what happened was is my goal was is to get him potty trained before he went back to school. And we talked to his psychiatrist about it, and he told Jacob, he says, Jacob, big boys don't wear diapers to school. You're a big boy. And Jacob kept saying, Dr. Sanders, big boy, Dr. Sanders, big boy. And so we latched onto that.
Yeah.
And I'm very blessed to have a team, I'll call it the team of babysitters helping me with Jacob over the last years, but in particular in the last 9 months. And with them and myself, I'm proud to say we got Jacob potty trained again.
Wow.
Was it easy? No. Did I have my crying moments? Absolutely, because I couldn't believe I was retraining my son who had been potty trained at age 6, which, like I said, it took Jacob a little bit longer, but he was potty trained.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do it again.
Yeah.
But I think the hardest thing was getting him to walk again. He was in intense rehab in the hospital. We lived in the hospital for over a month getting him to walk again. And to see the pain he had to endure in order to learn how to walk again was just, it was gut-wrenching as a parent.
Yeah.
Because he was still in a lot of pain from the leukemia, but they kept saying if they don't get him up and moving, it could be worse. And
uh-huh.
so we put him on painkillers, and we just kept on going. And, you know, and what I did was is I captured those moments and posted them on YouTube. And let people know that they could monitor our progress. And they felt like they were a part of our lives as we've been going through this leukemia journey. And it's just, I mean, as bad as it's been, and there's been moments where I wouldn't wish this on anybody in this world, what we've had to go through. But by the same token, we've experienced things that most people will never experience.
Yeah.
And we've seen firsthand the love people have in their heart. And, you know, how do you put a price tag on that?
Yeah. And I think, too, you know, it's more spiritual.
Yeah.
It's a very spiritual journey when you have to deal with a child that has a disability or is going through different health issues and stuff. We see the things in the physical, but I think that it's so much bigger than what we can see in hindsight.
Yeah.
And I think that people being able to reach out and help and to show love is for Jacob, but it's also something that God is showing them.
Exactly. And I think that it's been a learning journey for everybody involved. Everybody. When a friend of ours found out that Jacob loved cards, and he's a DJ, and he's got a son with Down syndrome as well, and he came up with this on his own. He said, you know, I hear Jacob loves cards. I said, oh, yes. I said, Neil, he loves cards. He says, okay. He says, would you mind if I put together a Facebook page and have people send cards into him? I said, absolutely. I said, do you mind if I put your personal address? I said, you know what? Our life's an open book at this point. I don't care. So anyway, what happened was is within weeks, they had over 500, I think it's 450 maybe, people wanting to get involved with Cards for Jacob. We got cards from all over the country.
Yeah.
From motorcycle clubs to a guy that works for the Department of Defense. People want to help people. Lots of times they just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So if you give them a little bit to go with, it's amazing how they latch onto it and run with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I knew that from advocacy years ago with helping families of children with disabilities, but I hadn't experienced it full cycle of me being the recipient and my family and Jacob being the recipient of the love.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I've went kind of full circle with this world that, and so, you know, people say, well, you know, what lessons have you learned? I'm like, wow, I have went full circle and I wouldn't have ever done it without Jacob. And I think that's why Jacob was selected for us.
Yeah.
I have no doubt. He was handpicked because God knew what we would do with it and how we would make the most negative situations positive. And in the meantime, help others.
Yeah. And I want to commend you for, I agree. I absolutely agree that because you are already in the public and because, you know, a lot of families did know of your story and you do feel a connection with the families. You know, a lot of people probably didn't even realize how connected they felt to Jacob until that happened. I would admit, you know, when I hadn't seen any emails from you in a while, and I was like, something is going on. Right. I just had a gut feeling that something is going on. This is not like her.
Especially when we were getting ready to go into the legislative session, and I always have things going on that we need to do.
Right. And so I was like, okay, let me Google her.
Yeah.
So I Googled, and because I couldn't remember the site right offhand, but I Googled and I searched my email. I said, well, maybe it's something that I missed. So I went to your website, and I saw that the advocacy had been placed on hold to care for Jacob. And I'm like, okay, what happened? So I started, you know, Googling and trying to, you know, find out what happened. And when I saw, I came across the care,
the Caring Bridge site. Yeah.
And I, you know, kept scrolling through to try to find out, you know, and reading. And I was devastated.
Yeah.
Because I did feel a connection, with Jacob and, you know, him and Zion has played a couple of times and, you know, at the rallies. And
the Disability Day at the Capitol.
Yeah, and you don't realize how connected you feel to the families until something like this happens. So I reached out and it's just been, you have inspired not just me, but you've inspired so many people, and as well as Jacob, because when you look at other people, you know, a lot of people have a hard time enduring their situation. But when you look at someone like you and see that you're enduring much more, it really makes you reflect back on yourself, and you grow and you learn from watching other people endure.
Right.
So I want to, you know, you've really been an inspiration to me, and I just wanted to throw that in before I go to the next question.
Well, thank you, Yvonne. Well, I think you're an inspiration to a lot of people as well. You've kind of taken a little bit of a different route, but you're still doing the same things, giving people hope, helping them to feel connected, and that, yes, you know, we do endure some difficult times in our life. God never, if you read the Bible, He doesn't say your life's going to be grand and you're going
right.
to get everything you want. Life's going to be difficulty. That's what it's about, is the ups and downs in life. But I think where people make a difference is when they recognize that you're going to have some difficult times. But it's how you go about it and how do you make, you know, lemonade out of lemons. You know, you hear that saying a lot. But it's true. It's true. I'm the first to admit, I have my down times where I'm just, you know, but I also think I have a lot more positive moments that I hold on to, and I try to focus in on those and not focus in on all the negative things. And, and you know, I think it helps me therapeutically in helping others. Just like I think when Jacob's diagnosis came out about the leukemia, what you said is absolutely true, and I've had a lot of families say that. It was almost like their own child got it because they felt like they had lived my life through my advocacy efforts and being involved with the media and, you know, being on CNN and, you know, being in the paper and all these things and, you know, trying to bring awareness to whatever the issues were. They felt like we were a part of them.
Yeah.
So when that happened, it was like, holy cow, you know, this could happen to us too. We better, you know, help them out. And, you know, and it was overwhelming. I ended up putting together, and this is my engineer. I have an engineering degree, by the way. So I do think very analytically, thanks to my father. But I think very analytically. And so what I did was I put together an Excel spreadsheet of everybody that sent me an email and what they could do or what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then I gave that information to my right-hand woman, Stephanie, that I told you about earlier, and she was the one that contacted me and said, okay, this is the situation. This is what we need to do. I didn't even know there was a website that could schedule meals.
Yeah.
I had no idea until I needed it. And then all of a sudden, you know, everybody went online and would sign up for meals, and then they could see what meals had already been prepared, so we're not getting 10 lasagnas in a month. I mean, it's awesome what's out there. It's just building awareness that it's out there and that you could help others. And I do think the community really grabbed on to us, and they were like, hey, they're part of our family. We need to help them out. And, you know, the interesting thing is I'm starting to see where, you know, we've got Jacob in a good place. You know, he's got, you know, he's had 9 months of chemotherapy. He went back to school for the first time on Monday. To say I was a nervous wreck is an understatement.
Yeah.
But, you know, we put everything in place, and you know what? I'm just praying he stays well and the kids in the class stay well and, you know, and that we'll work through it. But, you know, he was happy to be back to school. He's my little scholar, I'll call him. He just loves to learn. He loves to read. And, you know, I'm in a happy place where it's like, okay, things are starting to look a little better for me. And so I've already started getting involved with cancer awareness, and, you know, I've already contacted, you know, my U.S. representative about an issue, and, you know, I'm starting to get involved more into the pediatric cancer research side of it, and, you know, who knows where this journey is going to lead me next, but, you know, I just try to hold on to it and, I don't know, just keep on going.
Yeah, I think, too, I want to ask real quick, you know, there's a lot of parents who or family members that don't really know how to react. They don't know what to say, what to do, and they may not be technical savvy or have the don't know to build the website or to build, you know, which I think is an absolutely great idea. To have the team, Jacob, where people can know, okay, if this is what I want to do, okay, I need to click here. Or if I, you know, what we need help with and kind of directing people on what to do. But for those family members who may have just heard, you know, that their loved one is going through something similar, but they don't know how to reach out to them, what do you suggest they do to reach out to their loved one?
You know what? Just do. I know that sounds silly, but just do it, like Nike says. A lot of people would say, oh, I'm so sorry. Can I make you a meal? Can I do this? Can I, you know, and you know what? I was so tired at times. I didn't have the energy to pick up the phone and ask for the help.
Yeah.
So I was very appreciative when people would just show up. I had one of Jacob's kindergarten teachers show up one night with pretzels at the front door. Pretzels.
Yeah.
She just wanted to drop off some pretzels for us with cheese. You know, I'm like, oh, that is so sweet. I never would have thought of that prior to Jacob being sick. Just taking the initiative and doing it. Make a meal. Send a card. Gas cards. Oh, my gosh. I was so appreciative of gas cards. We were going through gas like water when Jacob was in the hospital. You know, both Stephen and I were commuting back and forth to the hospital. I had a couple wonderful families here in my subdivision that were helping out with Jared and taking care of him for, you know, however long we needed them to take care of him, or at least until Stephen could get home from work. And, you know, gift cards. Even if you're out of state, you can write a card and say, I am so sorry, we love you, let us know what else we can do. In the meantime, here's some gas, or here's a a grocery store gift card, or we're eating out more. And I'll tell you, the food at the hospital, God bless them, it's food, but it's not that good. And I appreciated when people would just show up and bring food to the hospital, because there's refrigerators there. Now bring all the utensils and everything. Assume I don't have anything. Bring everything. But you know what I'm saying? Just help.
I want to add, kind of put yourself in the person's shoes somewhat.
Yeah.
And say, what would I want people to do? Just ask yourself, how would I want people to respond to me?
Right.
Or, what would I want? What would I need? And go from there. And prayer is helpful. Helpful.
Yeah, and I kind of overlooked that. Yeah, no, the first thing I ask people to do is just pray for us. If that's the only thing you can do, just pray for us, because I have no doubt God knows who Jacob Moore is. I have no doubt. Because I think he's one of the most prayed-for little boys in the world. But, the simple things like, and unfortunately, our basement had flooded in September and October. So we were just still dealing with basement issues when Jacob got diagnosed with leukemia. So we hadn't had a chance to rake up our leaves in our yard.
Yeah.
So some of our neighbors just took the initiative and raked the leaves up. Just did it. Didn't even ask me. Just did it. Do you know how appreciative I was that I didn't have leaves blowing everywhere?
Yeah.
It's just simple things. It may not seem like a lot to the person doing the task, but it could take the stress off the individual that's going through a difficult moment so much, and it just makes them feel so good that people see the need and just take care of it. Don't ask. Don't wait for the person to ask you to help. Just do it.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing.
Like you said, they may not have the energy, or they may not.
Yeah.
Some people, I would say, it's hard for me to ask. It's very hard for me to ask for help. So I think that, but I will, if somebody asks me, I'll tell you. But it's hard for me to, and I'm breaking out of that, but,
trying.
But it's hard for me to initiate and say, okay, because somebody organized, this, or because somebody, so it's, I absolutely agree. Even around the house, I'll say, like, with my son, he like, well, I didn't know I had to do, well, just do.
Just do it.
You
just
see
do
it,
it
needs to be done, just do it. And I love that.
Yep.
I love that.
Yep.
So
the other thing that I wanted to kind of point out, that I did this as soon as Jacob was born with the Down syndrome, and now with the leukemia, because it was pretty obvious that he has leukemia because he lost all of his hair. He was a little bit later in doing that. He was 5 months into treatment before he lost all of his hair, and we ended up having to shave the rest of it because it was coming out in chunks. And that's an emotional thing as a mama, is to see hair in their bed everywhere. And you would comb his hair, and the hair would fall out. And finally, I just couldn't handle it. And the lady that's been doing his hair for a long time, I talked to her about it. She says, Heidi, just bring him in. That's an emotional thing you don't need to deal with. And I said, I agree. But one of the things that I think it's so important for individuals that have never experienced cancer or never experienced being around a child with a disability, you know what? The children are children first.
Yeah.
All this other diagnoses and things that we, labels we put on them, is secondary.
Yeah.
They want the same things that you and I want, period.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What I would do to break the cycle, I feel like, with people all the time, is I'm very upfront and honest about Jacob having Down syndrome, about Jacob having cancer.
Yeah.
When people start giving looks, I go up to them and I say, yes, my son has Down syndrome. Yes, he has cancer. And then I start talking to him about it. And that kind of breaks the silent moments.
Yeah.
That they realize, oh, it's okay to talk about it. Because a lot of people, if you've never been a part of that world, they're afraid they may offend you.
Mm-hmm.
So I just break down those barriers right from the get-go. It's just a lot easier. Yeah, he has Down syndrome, so what? Yeah, yeah. He likes to, you know, go to the movies. He likes to go and, you know, do all these other things. He's a kid first.
Right.
And that's been my attitude with the school system. That's been my attitude with working with doctors, with working with the media, is helping to break down those barriers that the individual is an individual first, the diagnoses are secondary.
Yeah.
And so many times in society, they try to label the person first before they get to know them. And, you know, you from my world, I always hear, you know, I do want society to see Jacob for his abilities first, then the disability first.
Yeah. What message do you want to send? We kind of winding down on time.
This has been fun, Yvonne.
I enjoyed it too. What message do you want to send to other parents who are going through something similar, or some type of adversity? What message do you want to send to them on how to endure it?
Well, you know, I think everybody has different ways to cope, and everybody has a different way to handle things. But, you know, from a coping mechanism, I find it with my faith.
Yeah.
And surrounding myself with positive people. I got rid of the negativity a long time ago, and I continue to.
Yeah.
I don't allow it in my life. To be honest, there's too much negativity in the world. If you can't be nice, then just get out, because I just don't have time for that. But, you know, I think that developing networks and alliances and friendships before you go through hardships is critical. And you giving when you can do it, when whatever it is, if it's advocating for children with disabilities or if it's making a meal for a family going through a difficult time, it just means a lot to people. And reaching out to those folks before you need that. The other thing is organization. I truly believe the reason why I'm able to handle a lot and not get so stressed out is because I'm very organized.
Yeah.
You know, I have medical journals for Jacob dating back to when he was born. You know, I'm a list person. I do a lot of things. I write things out. You know, I type everything up on the computer, so when I go in to visit doctor's offices or we go to the Aflac Cancer Center, I have it all in front of them. These are the medications.
Yeah.
These are the doctors. This is the hospitalizations. So then I don't even have to talk about that. It's all in writing. You know, simplifying your life in an organized way is so critical to handling difficult things. And educating yourself on the rights of your child.
Yeah.
That's another one. As you start getting into the educational world and in the healthcare world, you know, they weren't going to do an MRI with Jacob to figure out he had leukemia. We forced the issue, and lo and behold, we were right. That there was something else going on. You know, mama's intuition is a very powerful tool.
It is.
And you know what? If you feel something's wrong, then you better go with it. You know, and just looking for the positive moments in life. It may be getting through the next minute of your life or the next day of your life, but try not to get too far ahead. Now, I am a planner. You could ask anybody in my family. I'm a big planner. I'm always planning. But I think what the leukemia has taught me, and Jacob having Down syndrome, is that you got to live life for the time that you have.
Yeah.
And appreciate every moment you have with your child, because you never know what might be around the corner. You just never know.
Yeah. And I think, and thank you for saying that. I think that we have to, and that's part of looking past the disability, is to focus on, you know, just enjoy it. Like Zion will be singing and dancing, you know, and I just join them.
And sometimes it's inappropriate times, but who cares,
and
you know?
And dance and, you know, and he has taught me to look at the world different.
Right.
You know, before him, you know, I saw, you know, there's a lot of judgmental people, and you know, a lot of the things that we fear is not what we believe we can do, you know, whether it's career or whatever. I think a lot of the fears and stuff come from what we have, what we fear other people would think, you know, of us. And
right.
having Zion has made me change my perspective, or my perception of that. And I'm not afraid to sing in the car no more, you know?
Right.
You know, or to dance. If I feel like dancing, I just dance. And so even with looking at Zion, I realized that it's so much bigger than him. He don't realize the change that he making in the people around him.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, it's so much God in it.
It is.
That,
and, you know, it's funny you say that. I say that Jacob has impacted more people in the last 10 years of his life than probably you and I will in a lifetime.
Yeah.
Our children have been placed in this world for a reason. Unfortunately, sometimes people don't get what that reason is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yep.
I agree. Thank you so much. Get that website again. I know one
yeah,
of them is Team Jacob.
Well, the easiest one is, yeah, teamjacob.org is kind of our starting place. And then if they want to know kind of about my advocacy efforts, it's Heidi, H-E-I-D-I, jmoore.com. And that's my business. And then, of course, the other one is more of the leukemia journey, and that's where families can link to our Caring Bridge site, which is a very detailed. It's kind of like my memoirs of everything we've went through since the beginning of all this. So, anyway, I really appreciate, Yvonne, you having me on the show, and, you know, I truly hope that I'm able to help at least one family today, and helping them understand what they could do, or families that maybe aren't going through anything right now but may be able to help others.
Yeah, and thank you so much for being on the show today. I know that you will touch and continue to touch a lot of people that are going through, and it may be a different obstacle, or it may be a different thing that they're going through, but seeing, you know, we learn a lot from watching others.
Yeah.
And we learn and we grow, and that's what life is about, I believe, you know, to learn how to, just like you said earlier, that, you know, God didn't promise that, you know, everything will be perfect. He didn't
right.
promise that it will be easy. But he put examples in our face, and he gives us the tools to overcome the obstacles that we face, and also he gives us the strength through watching others, or you know, it's not a matter of having a problem or having something to cope with. It's how you perceive it, and it's
right.
how you look at it that helps you get through it, and gives you, and once you can get through it, you can see that the lessons that were brought on because of it. And I want to thank you so much for all that you're doing to reach out and allowing people into your life to grow and to learn and to reach, you know, and to be empowered through your story and through seeing Jacob endure. He's a powerful little man.
Well, all you got to do is Google Jacob Moore Leukemia on YouTube. And if that doesn't inspire you, I don't know what will. Seeing him
yeah.
walking for the first time, you know,
yeah.
I just, yeah. He's an amazing little boy, and he's brought out the best in, I think, a lot of people, and will continue to do so. And I just want to say thanks again for having me on the show, and I'm sure we'll work together again someday, Yvonne. I have no doubt.
I have no doubt either. And, again, that website is Team Jacob. .org, and thank you, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank
you too.
Thank you so much for all you've done, and I'll continue to pray for Jacob and your family, and keep in touch.
Thank you. I will. Have a good day.
You too.
I was meant to fly.
Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been an absolute pleasure, and I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening. I don't wanna know.